to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Call to worship today comes from the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. O Lord, God of our salvation, we worship you and adore you. We will sing your praises forever and evermore. Amen. Let us worship God together. Affirmation of faith. We believe in God, creator of the universe and of earth, creator of humanity and creator of love, and in Jesus Christ, disturber, comforter, and beacon, who is brought into the world by extraordinary means. He suffered great pain and extraordinary circumstances and was given an extraordinary place in history. He's with us to this day. To him we are accountable, and in him we have an advocate. We believe that the living God is with us always, and that the believers all over the world are brothers and sisters, no matter their name. We believe that those who have gone before have lessons to teach, and that we have more than one opportunity to learn and to grow. We believe that God is mercifully in control of human history, and he will bring it to completion, and we will be in God's memory forever. Amen. Scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 26 through 31. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity you show integrity. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He's a shield for all who look to him for protection. Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the book of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call good, and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War, the one called the War to End All Wars, came to an end. Many people took this idea to heart. They wanted to believe because the Great War had been so terrible that men would not want to ever make war again. Over the next several years, nations worked to limit the number of arms that a nation could have. Some nations, even the United States, went so far as to stop or limit the production of weapons development. However, they had allowed themselves to be deceived. For in a few short years, three dictators would rise in Europe. People who could see war on the horizon would yet again deceive themselves by thinking that they could avoid war by appeasing these men. Abyssinia, or Ethiopia today, would be given to the Italians, Czechoslovakia and Australia to the Germans, all in the belief that these actions would avoid bloodshed, only to find that it led to even more. In more recent times, people, Christians included, have deluded themselves into the idea that permanent peace can be brought to in their lifetime through man-made solutions and appeasement. For instance, many people believed that if we were to have never gone to war with Iraq, our problems with terror groups like Al-Qaeda would have gone away anyways. The Spanish believed this so much that they pulled out of Iraq, and within a few short months of their pullout, the Madrid train station was bombed. They'd been deceived. They'd let their guard down. You see, in all these events, the people wanted so hard to believe that the urgency and crisis was over that they let their guards down. They allowed themselves to be deceived by their want for peace at any cost, only to find that in the end, they paid for their deception in blood. In our reading from 2 Thessalonians, we see a similar situation arising. We see Paul warning the Thessalonians of a man who will not respect their laws and will consider himself above all of them. In fact, the Roman Empire of that time was being ruled by such a leader, Nero. For not only did he consider himself a god, he was lawless in his rule, even by Roman standards. In fact, in a few short years, Nero would be assassinated by his very own guards because of his behavior. Paul was also letting them and us know that a day would come when people would no longer respect the law. I remember Paul's words to Timothy about the search for new teachers and the tickling of the ear. Paul encourages his readers in Thessalonica that they need to stand firm on the word of God, so to give them a strong foundation in order to remain vigilant by. He also reminds them that they need each other, for no one can or should stand guard by themselves. These words of advice and encouragement still hold true for us today. In fact, probably more than we could possibly ever know. For us as Americans, today we live in a world that more and more isolates us, a world that allows us to become complacent in our comfort. We live in a world where our basic wants have been met to such a point that we have been deceived to believe that we needn't depend upon God. Our sense of urgency has been dulled, even though we can see a world that is getting worse. In our own lives, we may not see it as urgent because it is not affecting us directly. At the time Paul was in ministry, he was for certain that Jesus Christ was returning at any moment. Paul knew that people were becoming impatient and even doubting that Christ would be returning at all. And some people had gone so far as to pretend that Christ had already returned. This caused a great deal of dissension in the body of Christ. The same thing has happened today as well. Think of how many so-called prophets have made predictions related to the return of Christ. Throughout the 20th century, there have been many such instances. The ones that stick out for me include not only cult leaders like Jim Jones or David Koresh, but men like Jack Van Imp or Hal Lindsey, who have made a career out of setting dates for the return of Jesus Christ. While they can also be examples of men who were overly vigilant, they have become so focused on looking for signs of Jesus' return that they have allowed themselves to be deceived by the very signs that they are watching for. Unfortunately, because the deception they had fallen into, others have become disheartened in their own faith. So what can we do then to guard ourselves so that we are not deceived? First and foremost, we can simply keep our faith alive in Christ Jesus. We know that He is our Lord and our Savior. It's in Him that we have received our salvation. It is through Him that we will one day receive our eternal reward in heaven. We should always look to Him for guidance and for understanding. We can turn to the Scriptures and study them to find answers to our life's problems. We've been given the Bible a roadmap as to how we should live our daily lives, and we should be using it. In the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 17, we are told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, we're told that every word of God is pure, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. So when we study the Word of God, when we place our trust in Him, then we know that we can avoid being deceived by others. When we take time to study and fellowship with a body of believers, we can become better equipped. We, in fact, become better prepared to avoid the pitfalls and the deceptions that come with those who are without that fellowship. You see, when we are out of fellowship or unable to compare our ideas with the ideas of others, we can come to believe that our own ideas about faith and life are the true way. Without a difference of opinion, we can eventually deceive ourselves to a point that recovery may seem impossible. There was once a man from Texas who was unable to be in active fellowship due to a serious illness. However, when he was able, he did try to attend churches. Unfortunately, he was unable to gain any sense of fellowship because he was so controversial and stubborn in his beliefs, he often turned others away or was asked to leave the fellowship that he was in. You see, this man became so blinded by his own self-righteousness, he was unable to see or hear the Word of God coming from others. He even went so far as to consider himself a prophet in the form of Jeremiah. What this man failed to recognize was that God speaks to all of us in different ways. In fact, when he was presented with a different point of view, he often tried to belittle it or call it false. And when it turned out that what the other person said was biblical or couldn't be debunked, he would just melt down and become withdrawn. You see, we cannot become so comfortable in our own faith that we do not continue to study or feel that we do not need to discuss our faith with others. Equally, we cannot become so complacent in our churches that we think that we do not need to actively evangelize within one's community. In many communities, when the vacant church in the community is a symbol of how comfortable a church may have become within that community, those churches had become deceived by their own place in the community. They considered the spiritual war in their community over, and that peace was everlasting. This is the thing about being deceived. It catches us when we least expect it. It convinces us that we need to not worry about those very items that we should be most concerned about. We know Christ is returning, but what are we doing to prepare the way for Him? What are we doing so that those in our lives do not become deceived by the pretenders of this world? What are we doing to guarantee that they see the kingdom? These are the questions that we should be asking ourselves. Our challenge as Christians comes down to not only allowing ourselves to be deluded or deceived into believing that we have saved everyone. When we think that we have accomplished all that Christ has expected of us, that is when we are most open to the deceptions of Satan. It is in these moments that we are most open to the Pearl Harbors and the September 11ths of life. Those moments that we did not count on that can either destroy our faith or lead us to galvanize it. So let us take heart in the knowledge that God is always working, that one day we will be with Christ as He promised, and most of all, we need to remain vigilant in our faith no matter what comes into our lives. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that You are the way, the truth, and the life, the only truth and the only way. We thank You, Father, that You desire that we have truth in our inward parts and that we walk in the freedom that comes only from walking in the light of Your truth. Father, today we take a stand against any deception trying to take root in our lives. We bind deception and lies right now in the name of Jesus, and we curse every attempt of this devil to get us to buy those lies. We refuse, Father, to be tempted to believe lies wrapped in truth and things that sound good or sound right, but do not line up with your holy word. We declare, Father, that we walk in love toward all people, which is a defense against deception. We ask, Lord, that when people, even proclaiming Christians, exalt new ideas over the Word of God, that we will quickly be able to recognize it and that we will look to your Word for guidance and confirmation and not look to man. We ask that every veil be removed from our eyes, that we will not be blinded by the opinions or thoughts of others, by the thoughts and ideas of the world, but that we will know the true voice of our Holy Shepherd Jesus. Lord, we ask that you bring conviction upon us for any areas that we've fallen into believing a lie. Show us these areas and bring them to mind. We ask you, Father, to humble ourselves, that we might be able to repent and get back on the road of truth, the truth that will lead us through eternity with you. Your word says that you've set the captives free, and Father, we declare today that we are free of deception because you have unlocked that door and you have guided us to that victory. We praise you and we thank you that you keep us safe in your truth and that you will always have the desire for us to abide in you. No matter what persecution we may face, Father, we know that you are our rock and our hiding place and that we may come to you. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is Pastor Jeremy Grotz. Year 2020 has certainly given me some doubt in the world that we live in, the ideal that people with differing philosophies can live together in peace and harmony certainly doesn't seem real or even possible. Fortunately for those of us that live in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and hope, we can have assurance that no matter what walk we've had in the past, what stumbling blocks or deception that may have caused us to steer away from the truth, we will reside in peace in that land where there are no elections, no taxes, no disease, and certainly nothing that will get in the way of our worship to God the Father. Do you have that assurance and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ through His gift of salvation? Romans 3:23-24 says, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins." God loves all of us and wants for everyone to share eternity with Him in heaven. Nothing brings Him more joy than when a person decides to follow Jesus. Heaven rejoices. In order to become a child of God, however, you must make a choice. You must decide that you want to accept Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Good works can't save you. You have to personally make the decision to follow Jesus on your own. Once you've decided to follow Jesus, you must admit that you are a sinner and repent and turn away from your sins and invite Jesus to come into your life as your personal Savior. Let's pray this morning. It has to come from your heart. Let's pray from our heart this morning to accept Christ as our Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask You for Your forgiveness. I believe You died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite You to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust You and follow You as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Did you just pray that prayer with me? If you just accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me be the first to say, welcome to the family. And I rejoice with you. You've made the best decision in life because there is nothing greater than saying yes to God's free gift of salvation. Know that this is an exciting new journey of a brand new life through Jesus Christ. Equip yourself with the Word of God, get into a Bible-believing church, and surround yourself with other Christian believers. Are you looking for a church home? We at Pea Ridge United Methodist Church would love to have you and rejoice with you. Our services during these COVID times are at 10:30 and 11:15 each Sunday morning. We're located at 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. You can reach me at area code 479-553-9585 or at pearidgeumc@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you as you begin this new journey in a new life with Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.